Well, good morning. I wanted to welcome you back to another episode of A Great Adventure. My name's Elliot. I'm going to be your guide and host. We are so happy that you were able to join us today. I would like to welcome you back to A Great Adventure. You can find us here on the website at www.agreatadventure.net or on anchor.fm, Spotify, or iTunes. If you are wanting to become a guest on the show or just share your own adventure with us, we would be more than happy to get those. And you can blast us an email at info@agreatadventure.net or swing over by the website and you can click on the contact portion. And then fill out the information, and that will directly link you to us via email. So I wanted to say good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us. If this is your first time listening to A Great Adventure, I'd like to welcome you to a very unique podcast. And wanted to say thank you for, sharing your time with us here today on A Great Adventure. So a lot has been going on here, and there's a very particular story that actually I've just kind of been debating on sharing, because although it's an adventure, it's actually a very, I guess it's one of those adventures that go from being great and happy and uplifting and, you know, adventurous to quite dangerously, to be, to be truthful. So, my friends, I've been very busy. I've been traveling back and forth to the St. Louis area for work, and also one of those is to look for a home, and thankfully, and we've been blessed with finding a home, and so we are in that process of, you know, going through all the paperwork and, you know, getting all the documents and getting everything ready, because we're going to keep our home down here in southern Missouri for about a year, just to finish up some remodeling before we get it on the market, and also to give my son the opportunity to graduate from high school. But as soon as he graduates, boom, it's about 6 months before he graduates, we're going to put it on the market. So hopefully it moves quickly. But we are excited for our new home up in St. Louis, and we are actually looking forward to it. So that's why there's kind of been a lapse in some of the shows. I know I've kind of been sharing some stories and some adventures and things weekly and sometimes bi-weekly, and thought that this would be a great opportunity to get back on the, to record a show and kind of let you know what's going on. So a lot of things have been going on here, and we're looking forward to the home up in the St. Louis area getting settled. And then that way, the home also gives me the opportunity to have a studio to where I can actually record more often these shows. And I also hope that everybody is doing well out there. I know the coronavirus thing is still kind of lingering around. And also that, in some areas of our country, they're still doing a lot of rioting. And I pray that everybody that is listening to the show is doing well, is safe with family members and friends. And just know that my prayers go out to everyone and all of you. So again, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to sharing this next story with you. And, you know, it's just one of these memories that for a very long time that I just really didn't share with people, just because growing up, I was never a bad kid. And I know some people say, oh, I got in all kinds of trouble, and my parents were always on me, or I was always in trouble with the law, and that wasn't my case at all. I was, I'm a child of the 70s, was born early part of 70s. So, you know, growing up through the 80s and stuff, was truly a remarkable time, and also very, very fond memories that were created, and, interesting people that I met. Now, it is my firm belief that everyone's childhood is filled with adventures. And that many of us, you know, we've long forgotten, you know, these adventures with the passing of time, and it happens. Now, an ordinary day to the mind of a child can be packed full of adventures and explorations. And that's if they're permitted and positively encouraged to do so. Now, thinking back, I can remember going to the North Drive-In Theater in St. Louis, which was in Jennings, and watching probably one of my favorite movies, Raiders of the Lost Ark, in 1981, and thinking that being an archaeologist was my true calling. Now, I could not stop thinking about the adventures, the suspense, and the action that I had just watched, and it blew my little mind. Now, I just want you all to remember that I was in the first grade, and at this time, the world was still very new and young to me. Although my dream of becoming the next Indiana Jones was still very new, it was all I can think of daily after seeing this movie, in a combination, but a combination of poverty, hunger, and homelessness dictated otherwise. Now, I'm very thankful that extended family members helped out during these times, and the sting of those robbers of innocence were thwarted from time to time so that some of my childhood memories were enjoyable. The innocence that the way a child thinks is what is truly lost over time, and that many of us adults seek to regain in order to grasp and rekindle that adventurous spirit that lies within us and waits to be rediscovered. Now, although this may be the case for many young adults, oftentimes childhood adventures and experiences can become downright terrifying. Now, due to my family living in poverty, the only enjoyable way out of the ghetto and experience was going to a drive-in theater. Now, during my time as a child, there were two that I actually knew of at my age. One was the North Drive-In Theater in Jennings, and Airway Drive-In located in St. Anne. And although driving out to St. Anne, which at the time was still very, very country, seemed to be one of the greatest adventures a young boy of six could take, funds and transportation often dictated how far we could travel. So therefore, after coming home from school one day, my grandfather told me that my uncle was picking me up after he got off work to take me out to McDonald's for dinner and to a movie with a bunch of my older cousins. I was kind of the runt of the litter for a little bit growing up, and most of my cousins, my older cousins, were female, and I was one of the nephews that clung to my uncle. The excitement was a little overwhelming for a kid who, due to neighborhood environmental constraints, lived out most of his adventures in a 100-year-old four-room slab house. So getting out of the house and away from the neighborhood was always a welcome. Now, after eating at McDonald's, and to believe it or not, it was actually good back then, and the drive-in theater was directly across Highway 367 from McDonald's, and we pulled into the drive-in, we parked the station wagon, connected the speaker, hit the refreshment stands, yes, those did exist, and they were right in the middle of the drive-in theater, and waited for the sun to set for the fun to begin. Now, depending on the movie lineup, usually the PG-rated film was shown first for the kiddies, and after that, the riskier films came afterwards. The risky films were usually the R-rated films that were meant for adults, since it came on very late and usually meant that many of the kids were already passed out in their parents' vehicles. However, this was not the case for me. Although I was one of those of the few remaining awake survivors of my uncle's night out with his nieces, he made me promise that I could watch with him the second movie as long as I did not mention anything to my grandfather. A quick handshake, refill of a popcorn, soda, and candy, and we had a deal. Anyway, he was the only one awake and hated watching movies alone because he needed someone to talk to during the film. Yep, he was one of those people. The late night movie that came on was Conan the Barbarian. Now, I know you're thinking now, like, wow, what kind of person was your uncle allowing you to watch a film like that? But you have to consider that violence and sexuality and suggestive situations were not as frequent and still fairly new, you know, to the film industry when I was watching. And you had to seek out that content, such as going to a late night drive-in theater with your uncle. But however, there were some scenes in that movie in which, if you've seen it, you know, that my uncle did make me avert my eyes. And if it got too violent or too bloody or too, you know, suggestive, you know, I knew what to do out of respect for my uncle. So now, towards the end of this movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger is about to do a massive battle with his enemies and prays to Crom. Now, and it's quick and people don't understand. Now, Crom was part of the Norse mythos of Odin that was in this movie as a prayer to this Norse god. Now, what does this have to do with the adventure I'm about to share with you? Now, let's fast forward about 10 years and you will see. Now, 10 years later, the poverty situation seemed to improve a bit. And I was actually able to fit in with most kids without being made fun because of clothing or my family's social status. The burnout kids, which they were known as, they were the ones that wore the metal shirts and they rocked a full-length mullet, were always accepting, and I actually enjoyed being around them. I had long hair down to the middle of my back, but it was all over. Not because it was a style or I wanted to fit in, because we just simply could not afford to go to the barber, and no one in my family could cut hair. I had a very tight, select few group of friends that I always hung around with. And I think at some point in all of us, in all of our lives, we all do. I believe this is what starts to shape some of our ideologies and belief systems about the world, God, and everything in between. This is also the group that knows your greatest fears and darkest secrets, and is where, and they're there when you need them the most. We had a good friend named Tom, who, although came from a very proper and wealthy family, never acted or treated his poor friends in such manner. Tom and his entire family used to feed all of us, pay for movies, trips, etc. at their own expense, and I always felt guilty. Now, surely religion was not a determining factor on the way they treated us, but Tom's parents did so out of the pure joy it brought to them to give some underprivileged inner city kids, you know, a chance to have fun. Tom was the first of our group for a very long time to ever have a vehicle, and driving around with him was one of the greatest experiences that I could fondly remember. During lunch at school one day, we were all talking about plans for the upcoming Friday evening. Fridays was the evening that most of us in school dedicated to going out with friends, as usually the weekends were reserved for family, unless we had a school function together. Wow, talk about how times have changed, right? So as the conversation jumped all over the map on things to do, Tom mentioned that he knew of a spot that he explored when he was quite younger and wondered if it still existed or if it had been developed by the encroaching subdivision that sat to the east and top of the bluffs. Tom indicated that a few years ago he was hiking on the hills around the Alton Bluffs in Alton, Illinois, and noticed a few small cave systems that could be easily explored without danger, and there was a throne that looked at it as if it had been carved at the top of this bluff. Of course, most of us called BS on his statement, but he swore that he would take us on Friday after dinner to explore. Therefore, Friday, after school, we all rushed back to Tom's house. We ate a magnificent dinner that his mom prepared, piled into his 1972 Cougar, and we made our way to the Alton Bluffs. The drive there was not too eventful as we headed towards Alton, Illinois, on Highway 367 from St. Louis. I do remember quite often as a youth going to Alton with my uncle on various occasions for work-related projects and different tasks that he had to complete. My uncle was one of those people that never knew a stranger, and although you may not have been directly related to him, He was affectionately everyone's uncle. So, as we entered Alton this evening, we made our way towards the Bluffs. Now, please allow me to set the mood for this little adventure. It was an early, crisp, cool, and breezy October evening. It was Friday evening, right after school, and the group of us had already had a long day at school, a fantastic meal cooked by Tom's mom, and now we were about to embark on the adventure that we had been hyped up about since lunch on Monday afternoon. The Bluffs had a small parking lot that we pulled into, and immediately we were met with a grotesque painting on one of the outer rock walls. This painting was a tribute and a reminder to a set of creatures that used to live in these Bluffs that was believed to have lived in Alton area called the Piazza. The Piazza was an enormous bird-like lizard creature that resembled more a dragon than a giant bird. The local native tribes had to extinguish many of these creatures in this area. So knowing this tidbit of information only added to the suspense of exploring this area. And I actually started to think that maybe coming over here was not such a good idea, but I kept these comments to myself. After parking and discussing various aspects of the Piazza painting, Tom began to guide us on the route that he took so many years ago while hiking around the Bluffs. However, as with time, many things change, and the Bluffs were one of them, as directly east and above the Bluffs sat a subdivision that was expanding. So many of the paths that had been previously traveled had been absorbed by the expansion of urban development. Although this may have been the case, it still did not dampen our adventurous spirits for exploration. We proceeded to hike towards another area of the Bluffs, which inevitably led through a natural cave system that could be easily explored due to its vast and widely opened on both ends. Now, it appeared that many explorers before us had used this cave as an alternative method of travel, and that's because it was due to the path that was worn into the cave floor. We made our way out of the cave, and Tom pointed to the brow of the top of a cliff and only said two words, Crom's Throne. As we made our way towards the cliff, the weather seemed to change and started to get colder, windier, and we could tell that a fall storm was coming. After climbing up the side of a hill for about 15 minutes, we were rewarded with finally Crom's Throne. It was hard to determine if what appeared to be an actual chair carved into the top of the cliff was truly legit, or if it was due to the ravages of time and natural forces. Since this area had a very unique history, it was very difficult to determine, and we decided to drop the subject. Now, a few of our friends, who were definitely afraid of heights, decided that staying up and hanging out at Crom's Throne in the wind and what appeared to be the beginning of a rainstorm was not for them, and decided to break off from the group and head back down to the cave to basically get out of the weather. Myself, Tom, and a friend we had named James decided to sit on top of Crom's Throne, talk, and enjoy the nice, cool October evening, admiring the Alton Bell Casino floating down the Missouri River. After about an hour, things took a weird turn. Now, before I go any farther, I just want you all to know, that this was not the only time that we visited Crom's Throne. There were several previous visits to this place that usually included just Tom and myself. Crom's Throne, although dangerous to get to, offered a sense of peace, and it allowed the adventurous a brief glimpse into the past. However, it was this evening that went from adventurous to downright terrifying. As I previously mentioned, a few of my friends decided to go to the cave and get out of the weather. The rest of us were on top of Crom's Throne when all of a sudden we heard a, "Hey, who's up there?" Now, thinking that we were busted by the police, I started to prepare mentally what I would tell my grandfather when he had to drive all the way to Alton to pick me up from the police station. However, two younger guys, about their mid-20s, started to scale the cliff, and they were chatting to us as they were coming up and as they made their way up to Crom's Throne. There was a small path that led directly to the chair itself that both of these individuals had weirdly positioned themselves on, and it appeared to block the main way off to get down the cliff. a very awkward exchange of what's up and how's it's going flowed freely on top of the mountain. But there was still something uneasy in the air about these two. One of the guys asked if we had any smokes, which meant at that time cigarettes or a joint. And we told him that, you know, we had just basically smoked it all while we were being up here. Now, I'm going to be honest. At that time, I didn't even know what a joint was. And although all my friends and myself included looked like we smoked a forest of weed every day, we didn't touch the stuff. We were still talking to both of these individuals about just different oddities and general things when we started to hear someone shouting from the entrance of the cave. As we looked down the cliff and towards the mouth of the cave, one of our friends was outside frantically waving and yelling. You know, they were waving their arms and yelling and causing all kinds of noise. Now, of course, this got the attention of both of these individuals that were not part of our group. We told these guys that basically, you know, it was our time to go and we were going to head down, that we were going to head down and get going. What happened next kind of took me by surprise, and it sent a chill down my spine when one of them said, "We did not know that you were here with others." And to this day, and as I tell you this, the chill is all too familiar. We attempted to walk around both of these guys on the path down a hill, but they refused to let us pass. Now, it was at this time we decided to take an alternate route down the side of the cliff by quickly scaling down the wall to the ground. And all three of us quickly followed suit. And thankfully, due to our small statures and younger ages, we did so quickly and safely. As we got back on the path to the parking lot and headed, you know, we were headed towards a parking lot, I kept looking back just to make sure that I can see up on Tom on Crom's throne that these two individuals were there. And as we quickly approached the mouth of one of the entrance of the caves, the next words from one of our friends was truly horrifying. They were visibly shooken up, and they were stuttering, and they were pale. And they said, "We were sitting in a cave and looked over to the right of the wall and noticed something pale lying partially buried in the dirt. Now, we thought as we walked over to it that was probably some trash or blanket or rubbish or something, but it appeared to be a body that had been hastily buried." Now, the group of friends I hung out with were gamers, Dungeons and Dragons, read comics, and we talked about the supernatural and paranormal all the time. We were basically good kids. But there was one thing that none of us did do, and that was lie. So we started to make our way to the car as quickly as possible with the intentions of notifying the police of our discovery, just in case it was truly something there in the cave that needed to be investigated. When these two individuals on top of the cliff were now making their way down and started to run in our direction. Whatever was in that corner of the cave, these guys did not want us to share that information. There was a lot of profanities, threats of torture and death that came from both of these now quickly approaching individuals. And the only means of evading capture and potential death and harm was to take the path behind the caves, which led up to the neighboring suburb. We began to run on the path, and when I mean run, we ran. It was probably the quickest I've ever run before in my life that I could clearly remember. We ran on the path through the woods, which eventually led to this neighborhood, and both of these individuals were hot on our trail. We quickly noticed a ravine that was covered with bushes and also dead limbs and trees, and we hid there and remained there for 20 minutes as both of these individuals began searching around for us. And what I thought would eventually be my eternal grave, these guys quickly left. Now, now that I think about it, I think and I believe that they thought we made our way back down to the cliff to the cave, and they headed that direction to search for us. We decided to wait it out a little bit, and that what was supposed to be a nice and calming adventure had become all too surreal and quite dangerous quickly. So we made our way up to the neighborhood, and thankfully, after explaining what had just transpired, the first door we knocked on called the police. We remained at this neighborhood home until the police got there, and with their protection, showed them the cave area. The officer radioed for backup, and cops from everywhere suddenly appeared and showered down upon the cave. It was our understanding that the two individuals that interacted with us on Crown's Throne were apprehended in a cave, burying something. Now, we were never told what it was, and we can only go by what our friends had seen. We did not mention to the officers that we were on top of Crown's Throne for fear of getting into trouble, nor our daring escape down the cliff. I left those details out and locked them away in my memory vault. After showing detectives, and yes, detectives were involved, details on our path through the cave where the item looked to have been buried, we were quickly told to make our way home and call it an evening. My friends who made the discovery mentioned to us on the way back home that the body had been moved from that area because looking towards that portion of the cave, you could easily tell that something was dug up and dragged further back into the cave system. Now, after this incident, I'll be honest, none of us returned back to Crown's Throne. That was, in fact, the last time I ever made my way to the Bluffs. In fact, many years later, I visited this area again with Brother Stan, but a lot had changed. The mouths of the cave and pathway through it were blocked off, and the path that once meandered through this area was now part of an industrial road that led to the construction company that had based itself there. The cave still had old police tape wrapped around the gates that I finally remember. So something truly evil had occurred here. And thankfully, the cave did not become an eternal resting place for me or my friends that evening. However, unfortunately, for someone it did. My friends, I wanted to say thank you for allowing me to share that memory. And although adventures are usually fun and exciting, which this one quite was very exciting, they turn very, very dangerous quickly. So I hope you enjoyed it, that little snippet of adventure that I remembered. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for listening to this. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share these stories with you. And there are many more to come. Now, please don't worry if there is a kind of a lapse in shows. As I mentioned, I am in the process of getting relocated into the St. Louis area, which will include, you know, getting internet and everything else. So, and it's still a lengthy process, but it's still some time to come. So hopefully I will be able to share some more stories with you in the near future. And I'm definitely looking forward to any kind of responses or, you know, what you think. If you have any stories to share, or if you want to come on the show, or just even drop us a line, please feel free to do so at info@agreatadventure.net. My friends, I think I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. I wanted to say once again, thank you for lending me a little bit of your time and listening to one of my many, many stories and adventures. And I truly do hope that I can continue bringing these to you. So until then, my friends, take care of one another, love one another, cherish one another, pray for one another, and look out for one another. And just remember that life is a great adventure. God bless and have a great day.